fourth week, the third commandment. So today we're going to be going over the third commandment, like we said, Exodus 20, chapter 7. Before we do that, though, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being able to delve into your word, Lord, to look at your commandment and what this means to us, and how you would have us live our lives in accordance with your word. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so start off as always by reading the commandment. The commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So what are they saying here? Psalm 111 verse 9 says, "He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." So what do we get from looking at this? Just a quick synopsis, right?
Well, in vain, uselessly. Don't use it uselessly.
Okay, don't use it uselessly.
The NIV says misuse.
Misuse. Right.
Instead of in vain, it says we shall not misuse the name.
So his name should not be used vulgarly or dragged through any immoral dirt. Right? We should not use his name to vent our frustrations, to curse others, or even to emphasize exclamations. So again, what does that mean? You see in your handout how Strong's lexicon, am I saying that right? Defines Lord or Yahweh. See, also a little snippet there from Faith Life Study Bible. So you see from Strong's that this word is translated Lord, it's translated God, translated Jehovah, right?
That's one of the pronunciations.
One of the pronunciations, right. It's unpronounceable way, the combination of letters, but the best way they can do it is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yeah.
Is one of the pronunciations. Yeah.
Jehovah, which is an existing one.
It's his personal name.
There's no vowels in that Yahweh. It's just the way
right.
It's pronounced. Yeah, so. Anyway, Faith Life Bible says, "You shall not misuse the name of Yahweh, your God." This prohibits hypocritical, insincere, or frivolous use of God's name. So the Hebrew phrase combines the verb nasa, to take up, and the noun shaw, if I'm saying that right, which means falsehood or vanity or uselessness, all of which we've already said. God takes personal offense to any affiliation or association with him that denigrates his character or reputation. So again, what do you think that means?
Yeah, does it, I guess, you know, thinking about, you know, does it really mean, you know, if you say another use of God's name, we call him God frequently, is it just saying the word God, is that bad? Or if we say it in the wrong way? Or is it only if we say Yahweh? Or mispronounce it, or you know, misuse it. Is it only a misuse if we use the word Jehovah or Yahweh?
Are we catching a technicality? If we only abstain from using Yahweh correctly, have we skirted by?
Right. So we could say it another way. We could just say God, since that's just a generic, not a proper name. Is that also included?
What's the idea?
Yeah, what's the idea?
What's the idea? The idea isn't a technicality.
Right.
The idea is how we reference our Lord and God, whether in a good or a bad way, right? So when you're exclaiming something like, oh my God, good or bad?
Bad.
I would say bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Typically when we say that, we're in shock or we're surprised.
Correct.
Or, and so.
Yep.
I like the frivolous, right? Frivolous use of God's name there. That's a good way to.
Like if you get a car wreck, so I'm just pointing this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, potentially those phrases could be maybe.
If you're in a car wreck and you're genuinely in shock from the disaster in front of you, you say that.
Yeah. Or like, oh Lord.
I think you're actually, yeah. And maybe even appropriately, calling his attention to what's happened to you.
So it depends on how you say it. So if you're saying it out to God, oh my God, help me, that's not the same as saying, oh my God, like in an exclamation.
Like a teenager would use.
You know,
over the new paint.
Yeah.
Or
OMG, right.
You have to say, oh my goodness.
OMG.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But the problem with that I've seen is that we'll say, well, thank goodness. Well, shouldn't we thank God? I mean, why thank goodness? You know, I mean, they feel like, well, they don't want to say God in vain, so they say goodness instead, but then they're saying it actually where we should use it.
Yeah. It really boils down to the attitude of our heart and how we're saying it and what we're saying.
Very true.
You know, so we'll go through some of these questions that you see on your handout. Look at a lot of scripture references. And just like we did before, we'll go around the room. We can take turns reading them. We're going to start with the next question. Why is a name so important? And we can start reading from the right, going that way. So you got Proverbs 10:7.
Sorry, I wasn't schooled up here. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot.
What is it?
The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot.
That's Proverbs 10:7.
Okay.
Proverbs 22:1, Elliot.
A good name is to be chosen rather than riches, and favor is better than silver or gold.
Hmm.
Is in the beginning? Is that what the one is? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, through Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What does that got to do with the name? We're calling God's name the Word of God.
Yeah, it's the Word of God.
I mean, He's called the Word.
Okay.
So I mean, the name is a word.
That's the question, is why is the name so important?
Why is the name so important?
Right.
Because it's
for
the name.
A name. Why is a name so important? Right. So we saw from Proverbs that a good name, what did you say, is to be
chosen rather than riches.
Right.
Favor better than silver or gold.
So better to have a good name, or in other words, a good reputation, than tend to be rich, right?
Well, that's the link right there. Your name represents you.
Right. There you
so
go.
So if people are throwing your name through the mud, they're trying to throw you through the mud.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we should respect the name because it is a representation of the one.
So
I don't say, Andy's such a loser. You know, that's wrong because
right.
Even though I'm using your name, we're talking about you.
Right. And the name of the wicked will rot. You know, the other proverb there referring to the wicked themselves, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Well, and in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.
Right.
And we're talking about the name of God, and John shows us that Jesus was God and is God from the beginning. He was with God.
Right.
So that's equal standing there. The name of Jesus, the name of Yahweh, Jehovah.
I mean, it's really amazing in Scripture how the names are so important. You know, and as you said, Matt, I think it's because the name represents people. It represents, in this case, of course, God. And we know that the word God is also used to represent God, depending on how it's used. Like if I say, you know, that's a false God, clearly I'm not referencing the Almighty God. You know?
As a Christian.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So then what would be some improper uses of God's name? Tangie?
However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die.
Ruthless.
Treated the Lord with contempt.
That's Samuel 12.
Yeah. 2 Samuel 12, 14.
Remember the Isaiah one?
Go ahead.
So my translation says, however, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die.
So that's I was going to dig into contempt for a minute. I was going to go ahead and read Isaiah 52.
Isaiah 52:5 is, so now, what have I here? This is the Lord's declaration, that my people are taken away for nothing. It's rulers wail. This is the Lord's declaration, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long.
There you go. ESV says that continually all day my name is despised. Despised, blasphemed, contempt. What was your version of?
Well, this said given.
No,
given,
your version of
given of occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. No,
right.
In this case, what David
right.
had done,
right.
David's sin with Bathsheba, had given an occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme his
yep.
name.
So we see a pattern here of the improper way of using God's name, or allowing others to. Hold blaspheme, or you know,
give cause to give God
to them to speak and despise his name, as Isaiah says, his name is continually despised. So these are all, and is Ezekiel 36:20-24. Back to you, Andy.
When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land.
That's a direct, he's telling them they profaned his name. In direct contrast to what we see in Leviticus 19:11 or 12, where he says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, or so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And yet here, we're seeing that that's exactly what they did, right? What else do we glean from this? So those are improper uses, right? Disdain,
despise,
blaspheme, profane. Cause others to do that with contempt, having contempt for the name.
Cause others to do that, having contempt. That's hard.
Being, I guess, you know.
Well, having contempt and sinning in a way that would cause others to also blaspheme.
Yeah, they look at, oh, look at those people. They say they believe in God. What kind of God is that? You know, look how they act. Look what they do. Look how they live. They're just like us. They're serving our idols just like we do. Or whatever, you know.
This is an affront to God because of his holiness, right?
Correct.
It's never appropriate or correct to demean God through his name. Otherwise, because, you know, if I do something stupid and my wife might call me stupid, that might be appropriate because I might have been foolish. but never show with God, not even the shadow.
Yeah, think of the fact that we represent God to the world.
Yeah.
You know, and how do we represent God? You know, how do we maintain God's reputation before unbelieving people?
So it's serious business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been thinking, while I've been talking about Moses, when the people go into the promise, the spies go to the promised land, they come back and they're like, no, we can't do that.
10 of them, yeah.
Right, and Moses appeals to God on behalf of the people because of God's name, even though the people are, you know, it's an interesting what's happening there, because the people are not living right, they're trusting in God.
Then the nations will say that you're
right, but God's saying, but Moses is saying, it's going to be worse if you wipe them off, because the nations will say, oh, he wasn't able to.
That's how he petitions God for them. Yeah. And intercedes for them.
Right.
Based on God's name.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's why God relents, because of his name. Yeah. Very, very good. So those are some improper. What are some proper uses of God's name? Ellie, can start us off. Genesis 4:26.
To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah. You see, that man started to call on the name of the Lord. It's not in a bad way, right? That was at a time where they started recognizing that they needed God, calling on the name of the Lord. Josh, do you want to read, or do you want to just sit back here and listen?
I'm chilling back here.
Okay. Good. Thank
you. You want me to read?
Oh, I'm sorry, Camille. Yes.
So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they accumulated and the people they had acquired. Am I reading the right thing?
12:4-8.
Okay. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah. At the time of the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I give this land. So he built an altar there, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hill east of Bethel, and pitched his tent where Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So he called on the name of the Lord, is that what we're saying after all that?
He did. So entering the land, we see that, give a little context and what God was telling Abraham to do, Abram, and he obeyed. He built the altars, and entering the land, he called on the name of the Lord.
Okay.
So recognizing that he needed God, he couldn't do this on his own, right?
Well, yeah, there were other people living there, and God was giving him land that other people were living, so, yeah.
And people were calling on their gods, and Abraham was calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Tangie.
Yep. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them.
Good. Which one did you just read?
Exodus 6.
Okay. So his proper name was revealed. What is that? Exodus
6:3. Yep.
That's when they said Yahweh. Is it the first time they mentioned Yahweh? In Exodus?
Not the first time. That's not the first time the word is used.
Right. I think
but
so.
Of course, Moses is the one writing
right.
the book of Genesis, right? And so he knew the name Yahweh.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. That makes sense.
Right. Well, that, and she read verse 3, but in verse 2, he spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. That word, Yahweh, Jehovah, when you see Lord all capitalized like that, that's that word, that same word that they use. Right, for Yahweh.
Yeah.
So he said, he gave Moses his proper name. And then what he was saying is he appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't give them his proper name.
Right.
So he is revealing it to Moses.
Right.
All right, 1 Kings 18:24. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers with fire. He is God. And all the people answered, that sounds good.
Of course, that's the story of Elijah with the calves and
right.
taunting the 450 priests of Baal. Yeah, one of the favorite stories to read.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So, was he calling on God or a God?
He was calling on the God.
Elijah was. They
yes.
were not. Right? They were calling on their gods, little g. Joel?
So Joel, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Yeah. And so, of course, Paul picks up on this theme in Romans 10. You see in Romans 10, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the name of the Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So he pulled that passage from Joel. Those who all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
That reminds me of Paul in Athens, I believe, where he went there and saw all the altars to the various gods, and then he saw one to the unknown God. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Marcel.
And then he said, here, that's the one I'm here to preach about, the unknown God.
Ali, can you get John 14 through 13?
No. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Whatever we ask in his name.
Whose name is that?
Who's speaking?
Red text, so
Jesus.
Red letter day, bro. It was red letter day. Yes. Absolutely. And the next one, Camille?
I keep getting the long ones. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgot the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Did you want more?
No, that's good.
Okay. Your joy will be complete.
I have 2:28 there, but okay, you can stop there. Yeah. So he's saying, one, he's saying, you've not asked for anything until now in my name. Ask, and the Father will give you anything you ask in my name. That's a pretty big blank check. All right.
It's not really true, though.
It's not, well, no. Not.
I mean, it's not true in the sense that God will only do what he does within his will. So.
Okay, absolutely. So he starts that by saying, in that day you will ask nothing of me. So in other words, we're petitioning on, based upon his name, not him, per se, which is kind of a weird, you know, way to think of it, but that's the power of the name of Jesus, right? So whatever you ask in my name, of course, when we ask something in his name, we're asking in the will of God. And when we ask within the will of God, in his name, then, you know, he grants it.
And is it just the name Jesus? I mean, I guess, you know, just thinking about, I mean, there are people that have that name, right? Other people. Even in Jesus' day, it was a common name, right? I mean, Jesus, his name was not unique among his own peers. There were other people that had that name. It was a common name, like John was a common name as well, you know? But, so how is it, you know, it's not just the name Jesus without the context of who he is. I guess that's the point. You know, kind of like we were talking about earlier, it's not just the word Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, it's in that name, you know, of who he is, that we go before the Father, you know?
Yep. 1 Corinthians 1:1-2. Thank you.
Yeah. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sophanes, our brother, to God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours.
So this is what binds us, right? This is our commonality as Christians. We are those who call on the name of the Lord, right? Paul is tying himself in with those who are with him, along with all the other churches and everyone else who calls on the name of the Lord, right? This is our common bind, our common ground, right? Acts 2:38.
There's another one here.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. Yeah. Acts 2:38. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You will fill me with gladness in your presence. No, that's 2:38. Jumping ahead. Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So, not just about being baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something, to, again, precious about the name.
Yeah, association there.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Acts 4:18, and when they had summoned them, so this is the disciples being summoned by Pharisees, I think. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So definitely causes an offense.
So yeah, so they were. Yeah. That's the one thing that they were worried about, teaching in the name. And for good reason, Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the of God the Father. So this is the top name, the name above all names. Right? So it is to be revered. All good stuff. And there's probably a lot more that we can dig up here, but obviously we are running short on time. So let's skip over a few questions and let's jump to what are some other ways in which people use God's name in vain, empty, trifling way?
Question 9.
Yeah, in a vain, empty, trifling way. And you got a hint there. And you could read Matthew 12, 35 to 37.
Good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. An evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
It's a terrifying thought.
By your words.
I like the carelessness there.
Yeah.
By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Right?
You think of the internet preserving things forever, but God, even, you know, above the internet, everything we say.
Think
about it being a tweet that's going out and is forever entrenched on some server somewhere.
Yeah, without a tweet would not be careless. But
you've only got 100 and whatever characters.
But still, you know, the careless words that we speak, I mean, that's why it's so important to not speak carelessly, you know?
Be slow to speak.
Be slow to speak, yes.
Quick to hear, slow to speak.
Words are a tricky thing.
I think everybody struggles with this one. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can't control what the hearer hears or how they translate what they said.
So the question is, some ways in which people use God's name in a vain, empty, or trifling way. Again, every careless word we just read, right? So some of these careless words, I think we were already kind of talking about them when we opened up, right? Not even thinking about it, you're saying, you know, I mean, even things, I mean, I catch myself too, like, oh Lord. And I'm not really saying that to pray. I'm saying that in exasperation, you know, frustration. And that's not a good thing. You know?
That would be a careless
use. Right. Or, as we said before, oh my God, or OMG, or, you know.
So whenever you're tempted
Good
to
Lord.
Use, I would say, whenever you're tempted to use it carelessly, use it in reality. Like, use it with reverence.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh Lord, please help. You know,
yeah.
Whatever the situation is, you know.
The problem with careless words is that we say them when we're not thinking, or when we're focused on something else. And so it's rare for people to catch themselves. And that's why they're careless.
Yeah, but if it's coming out of your mouth, it's the opening of your heart. Like, if you're being that careless, like, if that's what's coming out when you're not thinking, that's what's going on inside.
Right. Yeah. So it's more of like building those habits of, you know, if you're going to use any reference whatsoever to God, the Almighty, it must be in accordance with truth, you know, in accordance with His character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can't do that on our own, right? No man can tame the tongue.
No man can tame the tongue. Yeah, we're told
restless evil.
But Jesus tells us, don't take careless oaths or vows. Let your yeses be yeses, your noes be noes. And in James in 5:12 says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. So he reiterates that so that you may not fall under condemnation. So we should take what we say very seriously, as far as especially when we're promising something, right? You know, taking an oath to something, you know, things like that. It should be very considered.
Right. Now, what's kind of funny is, in order for us to do this, we have to call rightly on the name of Jesus to help us not call unrightly on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Can do nothing without him. Even to the point of not taking his name in vain, we can do nothing without him. So,
I mean, if you break it down practically and look at a human example to compare, if I were disrespectful to my wife, I should expect her to be upset with me and have to rectify that. The same thing is true with God. Don't be reckless.
Don't be reckless. Yeah. Don't be reckless. But we can go on. We probably got a lot more material in the handouts there that we could have covered, but we did. Sorry about starting a little late. We ran out of time. So we're going to have to stop here, mainly because I'm doing announcements and I can't be late. So we'll stop here. Elliot, can you close us?
Sure. Lord, how great and wonderful and amazing it is that we can call upon your name, God, in prayer. God, you are great. You have revealed yourself in your word, God, in our lives personally. God, we pray that you would help us as we speak, God, that you have given us every breath. Help us not to be careless with our words. God, help us to love and cherish and exemplify your character, praise your name in all that we do. God, in all of your words, there was never an ounce of carelessness. I pray that we would seek Jesus' help, that we would call upon his name with transformed hearts to particularly watch how we use our words. In Jesus' name we pray.